The reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 to 28. This reading can be found on page 26 of the Pew Bibles. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Amen, and may God add his blessing to his holy word.
Now let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that we can sing of such a great God, a God who has created this universe of which we are a part, but also a God who is very close to each one of his people, who knows each one of us by name, who is seeking to draw us closer to himself. And so we pray that now, as we give our whole being to your word, that you would close with us, that you would enable us to know your presence and to know your purpose for our lives as we go forward as your people. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the very first Christian books I ever bought was by an Old Testament scholar who taught in an American university. His name was William Sanford Lazor, and he wrote a book which was entitled Men Who Knew God. Men Who Knew God, great personalities in the Old Testament. And everyone that you might expect to be there was included in this book. There was Abraham, there was Jacob, there was Moses, and many others. Great personalities in the Old Testament. Someone who wasn't there, though, was the man that we were reading about this morning. The man who was the son of Abraham, Isaac. Now, in some respects, it's understandable why he wasn't included amongst the great personalities of the Old Testament. There are times when you read about Isaac and you think of him as being an essentially passive kind of individual. He was someone who was always having things done for him and done to him. He seemed to be very reluctant to take the initiative in anything. He never ever took any great risks in his life. And at the end, he was seen to be very vulnerable to manipulation, not least the manipulation of his own family. You bring all this together and you have to some extent, agree with another great theologian who made a judgment upon Isaac in one of his books and said that he was a marginal, weak, inconspicuous character. Well, I take all of this on board, but I have to say myself that there was a lot more to Isaac than just this. If you read the story of this man, then I think that a case can be built up to include him not just amongst the great personalities in the Old Testament, but in the great personalities throughout the course of God's Word. I think at the very foundation of this man's life, there was an awareness of a great promise that God had made. There was an awareness of a promise that had been made to Isaac's father, Abraham. If you were with us last week, you will remember that this one individual had a revelation from God, the Eternal Father, in which God told him that he would be the great father of a numerous people, a people that would extend throughout the whole earth, that he would be the founding father of a great nation. And that faith in the promise that was revealed to Abraham and the faith that he showed in that promise, that faith stood even in the days when it seemed as if Abraham and his wife Sarah would not have any children. Surely the promise depended upon them having children. And that faith in the promise stood when Abraham was tested and was commanded by God to sacrifice his son Isaac when he was born. And that faith endured, that faith in the promise that he would be the founding father of a great nation, that promise endured until Isaac emerged to be the child of the promise, the one who would continue the line that would eventually lead to the establishment of this great nation. And Isaac could stand. Isaac could stand after all of these events. And he could look back and he could see how faithful God had been in bringing this promise to reality. And he could stand in his present, in his present circumstances, and he could listen to the testimony of powerful people who existed at the time and who were able to say that surely God was with his servant Isaac. Despite his passiveness, despite his apparent inconspicuousness, this was a man who could stand and be aware of the great purpose of God which was unfolding in his life and which would have a great bearing on the whole history of humankind. And you know, friends, when you think of that, when you think of an individual who can look back and give thanks to God for all his blessings, but also see himself as part of a bigger plan, then surely that brings Isaac very close to each and every one of us. If anyone was ever compiling a book of great personalities in the modern day church, perhaps you and myself would be overlooked. But there is one thing that we can always be assured of, is that there is a plan unfolding in our lives. And there is a plan which is greater than ourselves, which is unfolding throughout the whole of the universe. And that plan is God's. That plan is his to renew his broken and his fallen creation. And he does this through the renewal of lives like yours and like mine. Perhaps we're not notable on a worldwide scale, but we can say that we have been touched by the great purpose of God, that he has drawn us into this movement that is leading towards the day when all things will be made new. And like Isaac, we can stand in this plan this morning. We can celebrate this plan this morning and know that once we have been caught up in this great purpose, once we have been gathered into this great divine surge that's moving towards the day when all things will be made new, once we're in there, nothing will ever take us out. We're here. We're part of God's plan. And we're moving forward in His purpose. Is that not what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Philippi? Writing to these people who had expressed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew His Spirit in their lives. And Paul writes to them and says that what God has begun in your life, He will complete. He will never leave go once you have been gathered into His purpose. You know, from time to time, we sing that chorus, Abba Father, which says, never let my heart grow cold, never let me go. Well, you know, we can sing that with absolute assurance. Once we have been gathered as His people, once we're moving forward in His purpose, there is nothing that will ever take us out. And that was Isaac, aware of the promise that God had given to His people, aware of his part in that promise. The other thing about Isaac was that he prayed this promise. Isaac prayed the promise. You know, there must have been times, well, we know there were times, when Abraham wondered if God's promise to him would ever be fulfilled. The days were going by, the years were going by, the decades were going by, and still he and Sarah did not have an heir. There was no indication that this line was going to be carried on, despite the promise of God. And now what we find in the life of Isaac is a similar circumstance. Isaac and his wife are without a child. And he's left to wonder how the promise of God is going to be fulfilled. And yet Isaac continued to live in the promise. Isaac continued to believe in the promise, because when the days and the years were going by and there was no heir to the promise, Isaac continued to pray. We're told that he prayed to God concerning the fact that no child was being born to himself and to Rebecca. And I find this very significant, because although Abraham and Sarah went through the same experience, there's actually no record that Abraham prayed about this. We're told that there were serious doubts in Abraham's mind as to whether God was actually going to fulfill the promise. But we're told that Isaac, he prayed concerning the promise. He prayed that the promise would become reality for him and also for his wife. Now, the story of prayer in the scriptures is very much what our experience of prayer is. Sometimes when people of faith in the scriptures pray, then their prayer is answered. And sometimes their prayer is not answered, at least in the way that they want their prayer to be answered. But you see, Isaac's prayer was answered. Isaac's prayer was answered because he was praying on a promise. And when we pray on a promise, friends, whenever we find a promise in God's Word and we pray on that, then that prayer will be answered. You know, earlier on in the service, we were reminded of the words of the Apostle John, who says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, that is a promise. And we can pray on that promise. We can ask for the forgiveness of our sins, and our prayer will be answered. That's why the promises in Scripture are so precious. It's from them that we draw our faith. When we pray on them, our prayers will be answered. But what we have to realize in connection with Isaac's prayer is that it went beyond his personal needs. Because this was a prayer that was about the survival of a people on the earth. A people who would be a witness to the Eternal Father. Who would share the truth of the Eternal Father with the world, and who would reflect from within themselves the very being of the Eternal Father. It wasn't just about Isaac and his wife getting what they personally wanted. This was about the establishment. It was about the growth and the expansion of the people of God upon this earth. And you see, that's another way where Isaac is going before us and setting an example for us, because that is a prayer which must constantly be in our hearts. Praying for the establishment of God's people where there is no witness. Praying for the growth of God's people where she is struggling. Praying for the expansion of God's people throughout the earth, so that there will always be testimony to the truth and the goodness and the love and the justice of the Eternal Father. And you know, the great thing about that, friends, is that like Isaac, we can pray on a promise concerning this. We sing in the hymn Onward, Christian Soldiers, we have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Now, what is that promise that the hymn writer is referring to? He's referring to the promise of Jesus himself that he will build his church. That he will build his church throughout the whole of human history. And that's not just about filling pews. It's about the gathering of a people together who will move forward in the divine flow, in that spirit of holiness, of justice, and of truth, gathering others towards the great day when all things will be made new. And that's why it's important for us to sing and to pray in the words of another chorus. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. That's a prayer that should never depart from our souls. Isaac prayed on the promise. And we're also told in our scripture this morning that he persevered with the promise. You know, there's always some comfort for us whenever we look into the book of Genesis, and when we look into other parts, particularly of the Old Testament, and we find that ours isn't the only uncomplicated family that, or rather the only complicated family that has ever existed on the planet. I mean, the soap operas would have a field day with the book of Genesis if they ever got the notion, and please don't encourage them to do so. But it's amazing the complications that were part of people's family experience in these early days. And right at the very beginning of the lives of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, we are told that there's going to be trouble. These boys were twins. And when they were born, the youngest was grasping at the heel of the elder, challenging the usual order of things. And that's the prelude for a whole history between these two boys, a history of conflict, deception, resentment, murder. Tempted to say that was every day in the manse at one time, with three of them. But that was the story that Isaac had to bear with regard to his family. All this darkness, all this bitterness, and it had an effect on him. So that at the end of his life, we see him as a trembling and rather pathetic old man, living out his final days with a sense of the brokenness of those who were closest to him. But he never gave up. Isaac, there's no evidence that Isaac ever let go of the promise that had come to him through his father Abraham. He believed that through all the bitterness, through all the darkness, through all the resentment and all the threats of murder that were being visited upon one member of his family to another, he still believed that God's purpose was unfolding, not just for him, but for the whole people of God. You know, there's another great personality in the Old Testament. His name is Joseph. And if we're spared, we might be speaking about him quite shortly in our morning services. But remember Joseph and how he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He became a slave in Egypt. But because he was in Egypt at a particular point when there was crisis in that country, when there was famine, which threatened to affect all the other surrounding countries around Egypt, Joseph emerged as a man who could organize things, who could make sure that no one starved, a man who was there on the spot to save people's lives. And at the end, when he's reconciled with his brothers and his brothers are asking forgiveness for what they did to Joseph, he stands before them and he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended all of this for good. I suffered, but through all of this, the purpose of God was unfolding so that I was here. When the crisis arose and lives were saved." Now that's one of the biggest challenges that we ever face in the Christian life, is looking out and seeing the darkness, the difficulty, the despair, and still holding fast to the belief that God is still working out his purpose. And it's perhaps a particular challenge at this point in time when we see how conflicted the church is in the West. When we see the ground that we're losing. When we see sometimes the bitterness that exists not just between people of different traditions, but within the same tradition. To stand before this and to believe in God's purpose. But you know, the greatest personality apart from Jesus himself in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle, Paul never let go of the faith that Christ was building his church through all the challenges and the difficulties that he saw. Paul worked and he prayed that a broken church might be healed. Paul worked and prayed that a divided church might become one. And he worked and he prayed that a church which was besmirched by moral failure would be cleansed. Paul persevered with a promise. And in that sense, he is the heir of Isaac. Two men together who knew their God. And that was the key to the faith of Isaac at all times. This was a man who knew his God. And therefore he trusted in the promise that had been handed down to him. And it wasn't just like a tradition that was handed on to him, this faith. It was a reality that he experienced deep within himself. You know, Isaac is unique in this, that he never wandered from the home that God had established for his people, the promised land. But within that land, he wandered quite a bit until the time came when he decided to put down roots in the valley of Gerar. And at that point, he announced to his family and to anyone else who would listen, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." Now that's the faith, please God, in which we stand today. A people who are grateful for what God has done for us in our Lord Jesus Christ, and who are convinced that we will flourish. So let's take that forward according to our faith. A people who are aware of the promises. A people who will pray on the promises. And a people who will always persevere with the promises, knowing that the promises cannot fail. Let's pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit, you would impress upon our hearts and minds your love for us and your loving purpose, which is taking us forward. We ask that you would come with personal assurance to each one of us, but also bless us as a people called to be your witnesses. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.